Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton at Misto Christopho. Chris, thank you for joining me once again. I know you ran the crossover pod the other night, but I feel like it's been a really long time since we've talked to each other on here, man.
Yeah, you know, I was in the Empire state of mind. That was fun.
Probably. And the 21 years old state of mind.
That's fair. That was fun.
Well, I wasn't going to have Chris say what's up to the people this time, because I feel like he's kind of lost that respect from me after ditching me for so long. But we do have someone here that I am going to allow to say what's up to the people. He is one of our very own contributors at LockedOnJaguars.com. He puts out game previews, information every week, as well as a lot of different stuff out on his Twitter account, a lot of GIFs and a lot of breakdowns, breaking down both teams every week, looking forward to Jaguars matchups. His name is Rory Songer, who you can find on Twitter at Rory_S. Rory, without further ado, say what's up to the people.
People, it's Rory. You can follow me on Twitter at RoryS. That's RuairiS. I contribute a Locked On Jaguars weekly, and I'm really excited to be on.
Yeah, we appreciate Rory coming on the show. We're going to try and make this a thing where we bring on some of our contributors onto the show, hopefully on a weekly basis. We're going to figure it out. So if you ever wanted to hear, and I mean ever wanted to hear, what Demetrius sounds like, stay tuned, because we might be making that happen sooner than later. We're going to go ahead and get right into it. It is 4 p.m. on Friday night, 2 days before the New England versus Jaguars game. So we are getting up to the minute updates on teams' injury reports, and the Patriots are bums and they still haven't put out theirs for the day, whereas the Jaguars did theirs about 4 hours ago. So we'll go ahead and break down the Jaguars side up to date, whereas the Patriots, we are going to have to speculate based on Thursday's report. The biggest thing on the Jaguars side of the ball is that Leonard Fournette is officially questionable for this upcoming game. He did not practice all week. He wasn't even seen at practice by the media in their 20-minute viewing portion of practice. So, Chris, this is not good, right?
Officially with an N? I just want to just throw that out there real quick. Did you just say officially?
I don't think so.
Confirm, I heard that also.
Yeah, so you're making yourself really a bad candidate for this lead beat job. We'll refer to that later, but
I'm insulted. I think I stuttered. This is 2018. I did not realize we made fun of people for stuttering.
No, we totally do. That's what 2018 is known for. Making fun of everybody for everything and having the others get offended for it. But anyway, Fournette not practicing this week was not a surprise to me at all. He kind of made it seem like he wasn't going to practice this week. Doug Marone said a few days ago that
Did you just call him Demur?
Yeah, I did. I did say Doug Marone with a toss, so now we're even. But nonetheless, Marone said he would still play Fournette even if he didn't practice this week. So I wasn't surprised. They're giving that hamstring a little bit of some rest. You know, because we're 1 week in and we already have to worry about this lingering injury issue, which I, for one, am not shocked. But anyway, that it's going to hurt if Fournette doesn't end up playing.
So how exactly, and I'll bring this to Rory, do you think this will affect the Jaguars game plan if he can't play on Sunday? The goal is that he will. They say they want him to go 100% if he does. I don't know if that's really possible when he didn't practice all week. But if he doesn't play, how does this affect things and where will they need to execute?
Well, first of all, I definitely think he does play. I think the reason they're keeping him out all week is just to make sure he's there 100%. I think Marone wants him in. But if he can't, it's going to be a lot more I think a lot less power running up the middle and a lot more, you know, kicking it out to Yeldon and Grant on screen passes, the running backs involved in the receiving game than we would originally. And just hopefully in goal line situations and in like third down and one situations, or third and short situations, Yeldon and Grant will be able to pick up for that.
Yeah, I definitely see that as the possibility, but that would mean that, like you said, Corey Grant needs to become more involved. And if we haven't learned in the past two games that he's played in, they really must have like a vendetta or something against him, because he was completely invisible in the second half of the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots after a pretty nice performance in the first half. And then he had one carry for 3 yards last week. And granted, that came before Fournette even faced his injury. So that's something they're definitely going to have to look out for. They'll have to rely more on Bortles, which, yay, that's going to be great. Now, I don't think this Patriots defense is anything to really worry about. Someone pointed out to me earlier today that they allowed, I think, 160 rush yards last week.
167.
They rank near the bottom of the NFL, so there was a little bit of a trend last year when Fournette was out that Yeldon and Grant were able to run the ball. The Jags did get creative with running the ball to the outside. And the Jaguars, I think they went, 3-0 in that game, in those three games, had 430-some rush yards. They should be able to put something together. And I'm sure they're definitely preparing for this if worst comes to worst that Fournette can't play.
And to mention, it was the rushing yards they gave up was the Texans, who might have the worst O-line in the NFL. And they have Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue.
You make a great point. Chris, you were about to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say back to the creativity that the offense might have to get. We saw kind of in the preseason that they were doing some two running back sets, and that seemed to have worked really well. So we might see that again. Maybe it might have to be TJ Yeldon and Corey Grant doing that. But Hackett might have that kind of plan in his back pocket if needed for this. And we might see a new kind of style of running from the Jaguars if they are without Fournette for this game.
You make a great point as well. And those two running back sets were pretty nifty. We saw a lot of like usage from Corey Grant when they ran those. He bursted off on a 30-yard gain. They were able to expose defenses because they didn't know. Like, I think it was Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country this past week that came out and said, like, if Corey Grant's on the field, people know he's getting the ball, and that's why he isn't on the field that much, and they'll know how to defend it. But that's a great point, that when they're running those two running back sets, you really don't know which way they're going to go. And that's them getting creative. They can pull a lot of things out of their pocket to try and work with that. I'm sure there would be RPOs aplenty with either or if not both of those guys on the field. So something to watch out for. We can now look at the rest of the injury report for the Jaguars, as well as kind of speculate on the Patriots since their official injury report is not out yet. As for today, I'll just list off everyone who's dealt with an injury this week. Leon Jacobs had been dealing with an ankle injury. However, he was a full participant Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He will be good to go on Sunday. Brandon Linder did not participate in practice on Wednesday with a knee injury, upgraded to limited on Thursday. And then I believe he was good to go for today. The Jaguars website hasn't completely updated this, but they've given everything that we know so far. Jadon Mickens has been a full participant all week. He had a knee injury. Jeremy Parnell was limited all week. He was dealing with a knee injury last week as well. He and Linder were both limited during the entirety of week one's practices. Same thing this week, and I'm sure they'll both be good to go. Austin Seferian Jenkins missed practice last week with an core muscle injury. That kept him limited this week. However, he did play last week, had three receptions for 25 yards, and he also had a touchdown catch called back. Must be a day that ends in Y if you ever paid attention to his New York Jets career. And Telvin Smith was dealing with a back injury, limited throughout the week. However, really the only thing you're going to have to worry about for this upcoming game is Fournette. Everyone else should be good to go. You guys have any kind of takeaways from the rest of that injury report? Are we good to go ahead to New England?
As Belichick would say, we're on to New England.
So the only thing you really need to think about on the Patriots side is Rex Burkhead, who's been dealing with a concussion. Since they lost Deion Lewis, they've been relying on James White and Rex Burkhead as their committee backs. Burkhead, what's the word we use for Chris when we're out playing football? Deceptively fast.
Oh yeah, you got that deceptive speed. White speed.
Yeah, that's Rex Burkhead for you. And he's a utility guy that can catch out of the backfield and is shifty. He has been limited with his concussion, as well as tackle Marcus Cannon with a calf injury, defensive back Nate Ebner with a knee injury, tight end Jacob Hollister with a hamstring injury, and running back Sonny Michel with a knee injury. I guess pretty much the same thing over here. The only thing you really need to worry about in terms of like who could potentially miss the game is a running back, that being Burkhead.
Yeah, and
I think Cannon could be interesting, you know, to watch his status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Starting, I guess he's a right tackle now, but
yeah, he's at right tackle. Isaiah Wynn is already out for the year, so they've definitely received, you know, a good blow to their offensive line after losing Nate Solder this past offseason. So that'll be something to watch with this Jaguars pass rush. We really saw a lot out of Yannick Ngakoue, as well as a sack from Calais Campbell last week. So I'm sure they're hungry to come and get more sacks. And this could be a really great offensive line for them to do it against.
Mm-hmm. And then we don't know the official designations, but a source from Patriots camp said that they had perfect attendance today, aside from IR guys. So we might be looking at a fully healthy Patriots squad going into this.
Definitely going to be interesting to see this upcoming weekend when those inactive lists do come out. When we come back, we're going to dive a little bit more into the game, the matchups, our predictions, and following that, a tribute to a fallen soldier. That is, our friend Mike Kay is now on to bigger and better things. The Jacksonville market will miss him a lot, and we are going to talk about that as well when we come back.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. For you and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
So, as Chris said, as Bill Belichick said, kind of like the Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott quote, onto New England. We are going to go ahead and start making our predictions for this upcoming game. Break down some of the intriguing matchups as Chris did last week with his OBJ, Jalen Ramsey breakdown. What are you guys looking forward to most from this game in terms of, you know, one-on-one matchups or groups against groups? And we can start this one with Rory.
I think the obvious one is what everyone's thinking about, and it's the like Ramsey and Gronk. But I think it'd be interesting to see Miles Jack and how he, you know, he's going to be on Gronk a lot of the game also. How he, you know, can cover him, since I didn't watch a lot of the AFC Championship game last year, but I don't think they had Jack on Gronk a whole lot. So it'll be interesting to see how he can handle him this year.
Jack is calling this the biggest week of his life. He said that after the New York game heading into this. Obviously, that stems from the entire Miles Jack was not down thing that Jacksonville has been clinging on to for a very long time. That is going to be in full force this week. I'm pretty sure they're flying a plane over the stadium that says Miles Jack wasn't down.
Thanks, Jen Jag.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kind of. So, another guy that I think could end up seeing a lot of snaps if they're running man against Gronk could be Ronnie Harrison. And that's because they did run some three safety sets last week, kind of using the safety as a nickel guy. And Harrison fits the mold as a really physical defender who can cover. He showed that off in training camp. He didn't get a big a chance to do that in week one because he didn't get a ton of snaps. But throughout the preseason, he made some nifty plays. He did it in camp. And I think this could be – he definitely won't get the majority of snaps against Gronk. But I think that it'd be a really interesting matchup to kind of have that big – safety coming down and making plays on a physical, you know, demanding of the defense's attention in Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are kind of sticking with the passing game, but I think my thing that I'm looking forward to is more groups. I'm thinking the Jaguars defensive line versus this Patriots offensive line. Last week, the Jags were only able to get 2 sacks on Eli Manning against what should have been way more, even though Eric Flowers was just kind of doing his best to penalize himself out of letting up sacks. But I think that's going to be a big thing to look for in this game. If the Jags can consistently get pressure and get to Tom Brady, I think the Jags are going to be loads better than if Brady's still able to get off the ball like last year, where, yeah, he was under pressure, but Brady was still able to stand in the pocket for as long as he needed to get the ball out and get those probably short crossers, which it wouldn't surprise him if we saw that again this week. That seems to be the Achilles heel of this defense, is the short underneath, just short of the sticks, where the linebackers are kind of going out for coverage, and then there's just a big gap in the middle, which just kind of lets Tom Brady nickel and dime this defense. So I think pressure is really going to be key this week if you want to beat the Patriots.
And I think with that is that they need to run a lot more man as well.
Mm-hmm. Don't
a lot more man.
Because, I mean, we saw it last year. The Jags were shutting the Patriots down defensively on the Patriots offense, and that's because they weren't giving – Tom Brady free yards. You don't want to give the greatest quarterback of all time free yards. Make them earn it. Make those wide receivers beat your DBs, especially with how weak this wide receiver core is now. I mean, they got Corey Coleman, but we don't know what he's going to do. Julian Edelman's out for another game or two. So they're running with Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, Cordell Patterson. I mean, it's not a strong wide receiver core. Granted, the system is strong, so they probably can still succeed in it. But you have two of the best corners in the entire NFL on your side, which should immediately shut down any two receivers that you have on that team. And I think you just have to play your game, play man, and let your skill go against their skill and make Tom find open receivers or make the receivers have to get open. Don't give them free stuff.
And I think
you're definitely right. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Zach.
All right. I pretty much look back on it as to kind of what I said a lot throughout the year last year, is that this defense is so good at going back and forth with each other. They could either say, oh, we're going to lock down coverage and, you know, get a coverage sack, or we can flip it. And on the flip side, have the pass rush put so much quick pressure on that it forces turnovers. Like, they can depend on each other, especially when they're in those independent situations like playing man coverage, where you're not as much depending on the scheme and you're depending on the talent that you have on the field. It's hard to say that there's a surefire way to lock down Tom Brady, because no one's proven that. And if so, he'd have a much different career. But I think with the strengths of this defense and the lack of strengths that are presented in this current New England offense, that is the ideal way to attack it, is to trust your men that you have on the field and keep flipping that switch between pass rush and the secondary, because they mesh so well together that they can find, you know, they can, I guess, sharpen their own iron in a way. Rory, you were saying something as well?
I just want to agree with Chris on the importance of playing man coverage this Sunday. And a lot of the Patriots wide receivers, especially if you look at Coleman or Darbo or Cordell Patterson, have historically really struggled with getting off of man coverage for the most part. And I think if you watched the Patriots game last week against the Texans, Brady really picked apart the Texans' cover 2D. They were playing really far off, and he's kind of ate him up underneath, and got a lot of like yards after the catch on pretty much every play. So I definitely think that the Jags DBs need to get up closer to the line and not, you know, let them get those easy yards underneath.
I definitely agree. Do we have predictions for this game? I'll start with you, Chris.
All right, so now looking at the Patriots injury report, which just dropped just now, nobody's out. And nobody's probable. Burkhead is questionable. Cannon's questionable. Crossen is questionable. And Michelle is questionable. So kind of going in, that doesn't really affect my predictions here. I will stick with the prediction that I made on the crossover pod with Mark Schofield. If you didn't listen to that, be sure to listen to that before this game. Mark gave a really good insight on his side for the Patriots. But I'm going to stick with 21-17 Jacksonville. I'm going to go with the homer pick. I think the bank is going to be absolutely electric this Sunday. I think the crowd might actually be able to kind of affect this Patriots offensive line. Granted, there's a lot of pros there, so they probably will have a good hard count. But I think the crowd's going to be into it, that which feeds off the defense, because this defense is just – they love to feed off the crowd. That's just what their egos are. That's what they like to do. So I think the energy in the bank is going to be rocking. I think the fans are going to bring it for a full 60 minutes or however long it takes. And I think the Jags are going to muster out a 21-17 victory.
Rory, on to you.
I'll agree with Chris. I'll go 28-17 Jags, just because I feel like it's a worse Patriots team this year than it was last year, and I really think we should have won that game last year. And home field advantage this time, it's, you know, we're not going to be playing in the winter in Foxborough, so I think the Jags just have the edge.
For what it's worth, the Patriots in the past, even when every year people come out and say, "Oh, this looks like a weaker Patriots team than it did before." But one thing that you've always been able to notice in the past is even when these teams do look weaker, they drop a game at the start of the year. There's always that one. I think there was the Chiefs game. It was either last year or 2 years ago. I forget, but they just got whooped. And it was one of those Patriots teams that you were wondering exactly what they'd be able to do. Not to say that the Jaguars are one of those surprise teams that could come out and whoop the Patriots early. But I do think that they're obviously talented enough to pull it off. And even if the Patriots do pick it up throughout the year and find a way to contend, which is what they're so good at doing, no matter how strong their roster appears to be, I think this will be the game that they drop early on. And I'm kind of with you guys. I don't think that it'll be like a huge, like Jacksonville stomped them type of game. But I do think you could honestly see, especially if Leonard's on the field, potentially a double-digit win. Something along the lines of 28 to, I guess, yeah, 17, like that. I'm actually probably going to go with 28-21 just to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt. But I do think this will be the game that the Patriots drop early on and the Jaguars win it, like Chris said, in front of the home crowd, which is going to be rocking.
Yeah, and I think this game, if I had to make a prediction of how this game's going to go, I think that if the Jags really need to win this toss and defer, because I think the defense needs to set the tone. Quick three and out, get the offense, and hopefully the offense can capitalize with some kind of points. If the Jags don't get points early and can keep up with the Patriots early or get a lead, I think that'll really hurt them, because I still don't trust this offense to be able to come back in the second half if down big or if down. So I think scoring early and preventing the Patriots from scoring early is going to be huge in the entire outcome of this game.
I definitely agree. They cannot take their foot off the throttle like they did in the AFC Championship game this past year, where they sat on a lead. When we come back, we're going to, you know, give a little shout out to our homie Mike K, as he's on to bigger and better things. Mike, we love you. I wanted to go ahead and shout out one of my buddies, Mike K. I'd say he was arguably the best beat writer that the Jaguars have had. He is leaving the Jaguars beat to go on to a different NFL city that we're going to keep quiet until he decides to announce it. But we're very excited for him. I can tell you guys that I think he's very excited about it too. And I don't really know how long the segment was supposed to go. It was kind of Chris's idea, so I'm going to let him take it from here. But Mike, shout out to you, homie, and I'm very excited for you and your future.
I feel like we had to pay homage to the best beat writer in Jacksonville. So I don't know. I felt like he was your mentor, that you would have liked to give a eulogy, even though he's not dying. He's just
that's what you're making this feel like.
he's dying. I don't know. The time or First Coast News is dying a little bit. Man, they lost Lang and Kay in like 2 weeks.
And Chinaki.
Wait, Chinaki's gone too?
Chinaki is, I'm pretty sure, out of sports journalism as a whole.
I did not see that at all. That comes as a shock to me.
Yeah, I saw him a couple days before he left. It was good to see him, talk to him before he left. But yeah. I guess if we're doing eulogies here, Mike has pretty much brought me along, as I've progressed in covering the Jaguars in sports as a whole. He kind of picked me up when I first started at Big Cat Country, like 3 or 4 years ago, really groomed up my writing, my professionalism, stuff like that. When we were credentialed this past training camp and preseason, he was really, you know, teaching me the ropes telling me what to do, what not to do. Chris kind of broke one of his rules on day one, but we're not going to get into that too much. Chris knows what he did.
I wore a hat that I shouldn't have worn.
Yeah, you should not
have. I done wore my hard ass hat.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, shouts to Mike. I know he's going to do a great job wherever he goes. I know we're going to stay close. Maybe we'll get him on the pod throughout the year just to kind of catch up with how he's doing. But Jacksonville needs a new beat guy. We got a new guy covering the team for The Athletic. We've got some guys still at 1010, Philip Hellman over at the Florida Times Union, John Reed. But like losing T-Wig on the radio, losing Kay to where he's going, to Ryan O'Halloran, who always provided some humor to the timeline, off to Denver. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see who fills that void. Maybe it's going to be one of the three voices on this here podcast.
I nominate Goodall. I nominate
Rory.
I already took the job, so.
Oh, wow. That's what's breaking up. Hey,
sorry, guys.
Hey, you know what? Props, man. Go get that money. Well, I think that should just about do it for us here. Thank you guys for listening to Locked On Jaguars. You can be sure to find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, you know, really just wherever you're listening to us from right now. Go ahead and smash that subscribe button, I should say. Smash it. Leave a rating and review. Check out the website, lockedonjaguars.com, where you can find Chris's work, who you can find on Twitter, at MistoCristofo. You can find Rory's work, who you can find on Twitter, at Rory_S, as well as myself, @Zach_Goodall. We will catch up with you guys after the game on Sunday.